There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 935, April 25th, 2022. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say funiculi funicula. Red Bull goes double at Imola. Back to Senor Rogers, Il Duce of podcasting, making sure each podcast is running on time. Back to you, Benito.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Max is Laureus Sportsman of the Year. Toto says, W13 not worthy. Russell says, porpoising hurts. McLaren making big progress, and Carlos wants to know how to turn his luck, a.k.a. karma, around. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program up on the cloud. So go to the front page, click on Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Mr. Rogers, I am doing very good, thank you. And you know, what could be better at 8 a.m. on the right coast? Folgers in your cup and Formula One on your telly. In living color, red blood and Red Bull running deep. Did you enjoy the festivities, sir?
Indeed, I did, except for some of the few weird little quirks in the race. But the sprint race was exciting. Leclerc was exciting. Ferrari was exciting. Fernando was el machismo.
Now, I know it's like 2,500 miles from FLA to Cali. I don't know if the noise is getting to you, but I'm hearing a lot of laughter, giggling from across the pond, all corners of the world, on the situation of the car number 44.
There's a holdup in the Bronx, Brooklyn's broken out in fights. There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights. There's a scout who showed a child, Khrushchev's still red and wild.
Car 54, where are you?
Yes, but really, you know, I mean, listen, folks. You can't always have the package, or people don't notice that you're machismo. So he's lying low. You know, this is a good time for LCH to bond with his other world champions that are back there with Fernando, with Vettel, unfortunately Raikkonen is left. But yeah, these are good moments. All those championships back there, they're wonderful things. They're wonderful memories. Oh, the memories. But hey, I mean, eventually, you got to have younger guys taking over the front, and that's exactly what's happened. I think it's a normal, healthy cycle of life.
Changing of the guard. And, sir, it was for this reason. I have a friend who is a huge Schumi fan, and when Lewis was marching towards number 91, he called me, and I know he was joking. He said, we need somebody to break Lewis's legs. And, you know, when Lewis reached 81 Grand Prix wins, I was actually pretty sure he will not reach 91, simply because if your season changes and your team does not get the car right, then even winning one race becomes very, very hard. And we have some references, which I would not, and I said references, not one, but I won't take any names. And I thought he might run into that conundrum, that, you know, quagmire, that he is very close, but he doesn't have the package. lucky for him, lucky for Toto, lucky for Mercedes, that moment has arrived now when he is king of the hill. How long he will stay there, Max is marching toward his numbers, and this is very exciting. But it's so obvious, no package, no delivery. I mean, what can you do? Now, shall we talk a little bit about Collie? And before we do start up talk about Collie, are you in sync with sprint races? Have you become a fan of sprint races? Because the jury is out on this one, 50-50, I think.
Yeah, you know, I can go either way. I mean, it's a little confusing because really, Quali is not Quali. Quali is pre-sprint Quali. The sprint is really Quali, and you get up to 8 points for winning the qualifying sprint race that gets you into the Grand Prix. It's a lot of points, so it's great for the championship. I don't know. 21 laps. It's a little short. You're not sure what's going on. If you like Formula One in the wham, bam, thank you, ma'am category, well, the sprint race is for you.
Yeah, I think what would be a better idea is it's for the show anyway. They're keeping the qualifying result as a qualifying result and do the sprint race in total reverse grid. And then maybe give points, extra points for the number of positions you increase. So then we will see some more hustling. But then again, these people have to save the car, so they will be concerned about the main race. But, Max is no fan of this, but to each his own. Okay, sir, as far as Collie is concerned, brakes on fire for Williams, hearts on fire for Mercedes, Ocon out in Q1, while teammate El Machismo with El Plan makes it to Q3. Nando must be singing, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Ferrari? My friends drive Mercedes and Red Bull. I must make amends for the sins at McLaren." After all the slings and arrows have been fired, we find never a dull moment, Mr. Max Verstappen on pole, ahead of championship leader and new tutti-frutti of the Tifosi, Charles Leclerc. His teammate hit the wall in Q2, and I feel that Carlito is slowly becoming Bismarck of motorsports. Going down one time, going down two time, drowning in a sea of love, or as they say in Italian, mare di amore. Row 2 was Lando Norris from McLaren, and surprise of the session, Kevin Magnussen, who is quickly becoming Leclerc of Haas F1 as his teammate with a very big last name, qualified 12th. But even then, he was just one spot behind one Mercedes and one spot ahead of the second Mercedes, the car number 44, the one you and everybody is looking for. This is the first time since the 2012 Japanese Grand Prix that both Mercedes cars failed to reach Q3. LCH and Toto must be wondering, where have all the flowers gone? Gone from the Valley of Success and the fields we used to roam and dominate. And there goes number 8, at least for this season. What say you, Mr. Rogers, on the trials and tribulations of not one, not two, but three world-class world champions?
Well, the interesting thing is Mercedes fell for their own big, big faux pas is when you continue to win. And let's face it, LCH's timing arriving at Mercedes right when they dominate the hybrid era is great timing. Lewis, congratulations. You were right there at the right place at the right time. But they fell in for the biggest corporate an engineering mistake you could possibly do, and that is, you're winning so much that you naturally assume that the new car that you're going to design, because you are the, you just won the 8th Constructors' Championship, you were so expecting not only to win but to dominate again that you had the unmitigated goal to have the testicles to call the car W13, you were so, so enchanted with yourself. And boom, there it is. Ugliness all over the place. It's classic, it's textbook, and Toto is going to remember this for a long, long time. But you know what? It gives LCH a break. Now he can hang around the Williams sisters and buy things, bigger and better things. So, hey, this is good news, sort of. And for us, we get a little breath of fresh air, especially once we get to Miami. It's going to be exciting because LeClaire's really got to get down and dirty. Back to you, boss.
Well, you know, what you're saying is correct. Nothing is forever, but at least the gravy train ran for a long time. It was like the Trans-Siberian gravy train from Moscow to Vladivostok. I mean, you look at other domination. Nando got two back-to-back, and then, you know, Renault went kaput. Michael Schumacher had a great run, but then Nando put a stop to it. So this gravy train that they were running on, the Silver Streak, it had to get derailed one day. And it turned out that it's the big changes in the car design was the cause of their downfall. And, you know, I was this gentleman, Andrew Shovlin, I think he's head of their trackside engineering. I was reading his interview in a website. And after reading it, I realized that, you know, he was talking like a lawyer. He said quite a few things, but he really didn't answer the question. And the question was, what is the problem? And he basically said, like, well, we know it's not all aerodynamics, and we know it's not this, we know it's not that. But I'm sure deep down they know what the problem is. I don't know if they got the design philosophy wrong, or if their numbers in the wind tunnel and CFD computation did not work out. You know, these things have happened. This is not the first time Lotus had the same problem in the days of Colin Chapman. And I'm sure you remember the wonderful Honda Google Earth car, what kind of problems they had. So this had to end one day, but this is like really Lewis and Mercedes, they've been topper like Nicolae Ceausescu, that they are running for their life now. They are not even, you don't even see them. So that's very, very sad. And for the sake of what you call competition, we do want them to come back and win some races. But right now the championship is a two-horse race, and Sunday's performance and Saturday's performance has now, I think, freaked out the stable in Maranello. So we'll see how it works out. The sprint race. Did you like the sprint race, sir?
Well, it was exciting, I have to admit, with the tires, keeping the tires. But the sprint race was exciting, and I thought Max and Leclerc once again did what they do best, is put on a really, you get that Dijon Plainois kind of stuff, and it's very fun to watch.
Yes, sir, and the force of nature that is Max came from behind like the hot Mojave wind and blew past the prancing horse in the closing stages of the sprint race, proving once again that if you do not have a car that is half a second faster than Max, do not count him out till you cross the finish line first. To borrow and twist a phrase from Mr. Morrison, if you give this man a ride, sweet memories will die. Max is rider on a storm. And I'm going to tell you something. At one time, Charles Leclerc had a pretty decent lead. And I thought, you know, this is it. Max is just going to follow him, get as many points. But then I saw him in the same frame. You know, once Max is like within a second of you, then, you know, he's going to try every which way to... Do you remember how Max won his very first Grand Prix? He barged against someone, and that someone in Austria was Charles Leclerc. I'm sure you remember that.
I do, indeed.
Yeah, so this keeping this guy down is very, very difficult. And what was really impressive is, like you said, clean passing. Nobody created any problem. Even Max said that Charles was suffering from graining, so it made his life easier. And then Checo made it two Red Bulls on the podium, so that was very impressive. And you may ask yourself, where is champion of the past and champion of the future? Well, for that we have to delve into Mercedes math. WO equals PO, meaning write-off of Imola weekend, and this is to borrow a phrase from Mr. Toto Wolff, equal a pissed-off LCH and Toto Wolff. Toto said, and I quote, "We are four races in, and probably today marks the low of these first four races. It's obvious that we are not anywhere near the fight at the front, and it would be pretty unrealistic to claim to have a slot among the front runners for fighting for the championship." End quote. George Russell was 11th where he started, and his illustrious teammate finished 14th after starting 13th. And sir, there's a lot of web chatter on the web about a animated discussion between LCH wearing his helmet and Toto Wolff. Did you pay any attention to this?
I did. It was laughter and laughter and laughter in the Palatial Studios.
Well, unfortunately, the regime change has been brutal, and according to the 7.5-time world champion, they need a 2.5 to get back to the top, and they're not going to get that in the streets of Miami, that's for sure. And as we have seen, even 6/10 is sometimes not enough to win the championship. So, do you think Mercedes will get a win this year?
No.
Wow, that'll be very, very sad. But I will not be surprised if the way things are going, you know, sooner or later, hopefully they will get this thing sorted out. Maybe not dominate, but fight for wins. But wouldn't it be something if George Russell gets a win before Lewis? Remember when Jenson Button went there, McLaren? He won 2 races before Lewis got a win. So, you know, we are in exciting times. What about the main feature on Sunday, the Emilia-Romagna Grand Prix? Rainy night in Italia. Max was Brooke Benton of the weekend singing a winning tune both on Saturday and Sunday. Very, very impressive, but not very surprising for me, given the Max factor. Your take on the race, sir?
Awesome, 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 awesome. I mean, the fight between Bottas and Russell was fun, 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 fun. And it was a little processional for a while. And the delay on bringing in DRS was, for me, another weird, here we go again. I don't know what's going on with the FIA and race control, but that was complete lunacy. Because these cars without DRS, well, and the porpoising, you know what I'm talking about. Yes, indeed. So, I don't know. I don't know what happened there, but very exciting. Leclerc admits to making the big mistake, finishing P6 when he could have been P3. In the beginning, you thought he might win the race, but boy, I think Red Bull had a good plan of attack, and they did it. Their execution of their plan was flawless. It was very impressive. And of course, for me, I think the big story is McLaren looking terrible, actually making big progress, unlike Toto.
Yes, sir. Max was definitely untouchable on Sunday. But, you know, lapping his championship rival from last season must have given him some new motivation and additional Dutch strength, as if he needs more. I have a feeling in our lifetime we will see Max set a new track record of 15 or more wins in one season, something I've been saying for a while, and it just might happen this year. 2 wins and fastest lap in one weekend helped Max recover 19 points in his deficit to Leclerc. Max now has 22 Grand Prix wins, and I'm sure by Abu Dhabi he will have 30 plus wins. And I was doing some voodoo math, and I think by the end of the 2024 season, he is on target to pass Senna and Prost. So, man, if he has a package that is dominating for the next 8-10 years, then this guy can have more wins than Lewis Hamilton. It's very, very possible. And if it happens in our lifetime, Mr. Rogers, wow, that'll be something. Now, in property management, it's all about location, location, location. In driver management, it's all about package, 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 or as we like to say here, package. And for reference, UPS would like to recommend any of their very high-profile clients, and you can speak to them in English, Spanish, or German. They want to keep it very simple. Sir, the guy who was very impressive for me, and there were 2 in this race, okay? What Max did, that's expected from Max, okay? But the 2 guys who impressed me, one was Sergio Perez. Second podium of the weekend for Checo, this time finishing 2nd and giving Red Bull first 1-2 since Malaysia 2016. And he was very feisty. Do you remember how he used to fight with Jenson Button when they were teammates at McLaren, and especially with Esteban Ocon when they were in the Pink Panther car? So he was fighting, and of course he was feisty with Lewis Hamilton in the season finale last year. So I really enjoyed his dice with Leclerc. And I have to say, Red Bull has finally found a decent teammate to Max. And I'm very happy for Sergio, as he has really applied himself to his craft. And against the might of Max, at least he can run close to him. He even had a pole position this season, and not be in a different zip code like Albon and Gasly after 10 laps. That was a pretty sorry state of affairs as far as the second seat at Red Bull was concerned. Now, Lando Norris, third man on the podium, he was happy chappy. And this was his first podium of the season and also the first for McLaren. And Lando was third in this race last year also. So I guess he likes spaghetti culture. Now, the other guy who impressed me very much, especially given the package, George Russell was fourth. Boy George is emerging as man of the moment for Mercedes. He and Leclerc are the only two drivers to score points in all the four Grand Prix races so far this season. The man he replaced at Mercedes put a lot of pressure on him in the closing stages, but George was able to hold off Bottas. The question has to be asked, what is George doing right that Lewis is not? Jean Alesi was asked this question in post-race show. He gave the example of him being new kid on the block at Ferrari alongside Professor Alain Prost. He said sometimes the team will depend on the experienced driver to try new settings, and this may allow the whippersnapper to take advantage of the situation. One thing for sure, like your hero, Machismo, Lewis has not hit the delete button on his talent file and forgotten how to drive a race car. Let's hope he can live up to the message on his helmet, I shall rise. I say sooner the better for the sake of competition, because we want more race winners than just two guys in a season. Moving on to Bottas, like Hemi haters, but for a different reason, he is also giggling a lot these days. His fifth place finish has lifted Alfa Romeo to fifth in the Constructors' Championship, which is very impressive, but still a lot of racing to go. Alfa Romeo is the mark that won the first ever Formula One World Championship Grand Prix and the championship, so it's very dear to me. I really look forward to seeing Bottas on the podium this season, which I think is a possibility, but winning a race would be asking for too much. But stranger things have happened in Formula One. Now, sir, we come to panic at Prancing Horse. Would you call panic at Prancing Horse, or you would like to be even more brutal?
Well, we're only four races in. They're leading the championship, but there are some issues there, and a lot of it is sort of uncontrollable. I mean, how do you control other drivers? I mean, clearly Carlos was not at fault, and Ricciardo did cause the incident. But yeah, you got to get karma back on your side. It's a lot, you know. To win is a lot. There's a lot of things that are going on that are sometimes out of your control. And once again, that's where luck comes in and everything lines up, planets, blah, 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 blah. But no, Carlos was in trouble. I think Leclerc clearly is under pressure up against Max. And they've been under pressure all their lives since they were little children. So it's a little more intense, even though they know each other so, so well. But Leclerc admitted he made a mistake. He was being too greedy, too aggressive. And this is where le professeur thinking comes in. Get the points. Finish P3. Don't take any risk when you're inching towards the end of the race. You have to think about the big picture. It's the long game. So he will grow, but this fight will continue between Max and Leclerc for sure.
Yes, sir, and Mr. Leclerc finished sixth, and of course feeling sick, and who can blame him? This race may go down as the moment that broke the Prancing Horse's back. From front row start to finishing of the podium was not what the Tifosi came for. Trying to grab second from Paris, championship leader spun at Alta Variante. And Mr. Rogers, back in 2004, when I went to the Imola Grand Prix, I was at this corner watching Jenson Button lead the first few laps from his first ever pole position ahead of Schumi. Leclerc said, like you said, he was too greedy, tried too hard, and lost seven valuable points, which, as he said, may be very important at the end of the season. As they say, sometimes you have to lose the battle to win the war. Anytime you fight the Orange Army under Field Marshal Max, experience will be very painful and casualties very high. On a positive note, the Ferrari's ace still has the comfort of a big lead, 27 points, and was lucky to continue after hitting the wall of voodoo with less than 10 laps to go and salvage some points. You know, these two people have been racing against each other since karting, and the way Max won his first race and the way he was going in Toro Rosso, Charles Leclerc knows what he's up against. So we will see how it goes. But, you know, he cannot afford. We all make mistakes. And the good thing is, you know, Max had two DNFs early in the season. Charles screwed up early in the season. So there's a lot of room here. But he cannot afford another mistake, because if he gives a gift of 25 points by making a silly mistake and not finishing, and Max wins the race, that's going to be very, very difficult to make up. 19 races to go. A lot of time to launch a counterattack, as Max and Red Bull did over the weekend, and also a lot of time to make a mistake and put Band-Aid on damage done. I think advantage will swing from team to team as the season progresses. What we have in four races, Ferrari wins a race, then Red Bull. Ferrari wins a race, then Red Bull. And I think that if Max takes the lead any time before summer break, that will mean sayonara to the Scuderia for their championship aspirations. And I think then we will have to bring in Niki Lauda quite a bit into the conversation. What say you?
Very, very true. You could bring in Niki Lauda. You could bring in Alan Prost into the conversation. And not only that, but Red Bull getting hit with the DNFs, two DNFs early in the season, is always better than late in the season, because they've had time to fix those issues. That fix could last the entire season. So they can be in really good shape now, where Ferrari may have a DNF down the road, more bad karma, who knows. I think advantage is now switching back to Red Bull.
Yes, and I think Ferrari's DNF most likely would be self-inflicted, and that's very, very bad. Okay, sir. Seventh was Yuki Tsunoda. Alpha Tauri team is based close to Imola Circuit, so this was a very welcome point-scoring finish for the driver and the team. This was first time in the points for Yuki since the season opener in Bahrain, where he was 8th. Aston Martin, they were pointless going into round 4 of the season. That all changed on Sunday as both drivers got into the points. Sebastian was 8th and Lance 10th. Questions are very important. Do you like Sebastian's bird's nest hairdo?
No, because what's going on here, and we're familiar with it, the receding hairline and pretending that you have a lot of hair when you don't have a lot of hair. Vettel, take some advice from me. Just shave it now. Go bald. You'll look better. You'll feel better. It's cooler in the summer.
Okay, sir. Ninth was K-Mag. Really enjoyed the dice between Russell and K-Mag in the early goings. K-Mag qualified 4th as the best reserve for Haas team. He has now scored points in 3 of the last 4 races. That is seeing and paying a lot for the North Carolina-based team. K-Mag is 10th in the Drivers' Championship. You know, Kevin is doing two things at the same time. A, making a great case for himself to be in a good team. And B, hate to say this, but making Mick look like mediocre and turning him into Kotter Schumacher, because half Schumacher is already has been cooked. Let's not forget, K-Mag was on the podium in his F1 debut, but so was Reiner Wessel and Giancarlo Baghetti. And sir, now we come to our feature show, starring Lewis Carl Hamilton in The Lost Horizon, which is very, very sad, but that's the way it goes. Okay, this is what we say here. Looks like Lewis has season-long vacation pass traveling south by southwest. And there are no assigned seats on this airline, as you may know. So he will be another face in the crowd this season, or as they say in the airline business, in the cattle class. Halcyon days of Hamilton domination are now distant memory, just after 4 Grand Prix races into the season. As you said earlier, he could not even pass Gasly in what used to be Toro Rosso, or as Mr. Brazier pointed out to me, Minardi. How sad is that? If Mercedes cannot turn the W13 oil tanker into a fast gunboat, then LCH will be in same choppy waters as his one-time teammate and fellow X4 champion. Nowhere to go, seats are taken at Ferrari for the next 2 years, and access denied for both at Red Bull. I think after all the yelling and screaming is over from Toto, some heads will roll at Mercedes-AMG F1 team. Yes, you win and lose as a team, but when you are blown away like the Mistral wind, then change is gonna come. You can't see the promised land of podium when you are a lap down. And speaking of lap down, Max had this to say that it was not really a surprise. They've been slow all year. So when you're down, everybody is kicking you. And since misery loves company, let's move on to the Sainz saga. Carlos Sainz Jr. needs to log in to Kimoa.com and order himself a limited edition Nando beach chair. A left tap from Ricardo was all she wrote. Two races in a row that the now unofficial numero dos of Ferrari is out in the opening laps. Chatter on the web says Sainz will win a race this season. I agree, but more importantly, he needs to be an effective wingman to come between his teammate and Max. We will see how he does. The thing is, you know, Miami race is a new street circuit, and there is not much room to make an error. I mean, if Sainz does not finish this race, that will be very bad for him. But the good thing is, the team has given it contract extension for 2 years. So it looks like his seat is secured, and hopefully he will bounce back and do well. Okay, sir, shall we do a little rundown of the points?
I love the points, Nasser.
Okay, sir. Charles Leclerc leading, 86. Max second, 59. Perez, 54. Russell, 49. Sainz, 38. Norris, 35. Hamilton, 28. Bottas has 24 points. His teammate, Guan Yu Zhou, has 1. Ocon has 20. Kevin Magnussen, 15. His teammate is pointless. A couple of questions for you, sir. Mick Schumacher, do you think he'll be able to turn the tables on K-Mag?
No. He does not have that je ne sais quoi that his father had. It happens all the time. Go have some children. Maybe your child will have what grandpapa had. But that's the way it is. No, K-Mag has already blown him out of the water. I mean, he could kick it up a notch, work a little harder. But obviously, I don't see the natural talent of a Fernando.
You know, when he did not win Formula 3 in his first year, and then he did not win Formula 2 in his first year, that just, for me, the litmus test is Formula 2. If you cannot win in your first year and be no more than 20 years old, you're going to have a question mark on your F1 career. And you look at the people who did not win in their first year. Stoffel Vandoorne, Pierre Gasly, Albon never won but raced there a couple of times. And so this is just a big test, you know. And you know, in his second year when he won the championship, it was won in a very impressive way because halfway through the season he was nowhere to be found. But even then, despite doing two seasons, he did not have a single pole position. And Portimao, Yuki Tsunoda was rookie in his second year, Mick Schumacher's second year. He did have a pole and actually had more wins than Mick Schumacher. So yeah, Papa set the bar way too high. And one cannot blame him for not being able to reach that. But he should be able to at least deliver a few sucker punches to K-Mag. But even that is not happening.
I think he's intimidated by K-Mag's beard.
Yes, and I think he does. He's a pretty decent guy. He does not want to hear what K-Mag had said to his fellow German, Nico Hülkenberg, some years ago.
Yes, he's a very clean-cut kid. There are no testicles in his life, really. I mean, we don't talk like that. Those are for animals only, Nasser. So, you know, on that note, I'm going to go and open up a bottle of Portuguese Vino Verde. So, we'll be back after this brief message.
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by the Holiday Inn Select Indianapolis Airport. This Holiday Inn Select is a full-service, atrium-style hotel and conference center. While a guest there, make use of the free, high-speed internet access, indoor pool and fitness center, or enjoy the good life at the Chanteclair restaurant with its award-winning French cuisine and strolling violinist, or race over to the spot of F1 Weekly's Listener Appreciation Friday social event, Benchwarmer Sports Bar. Catch all the race action on multiple TVs while enjoying the food and daily drink specials. The hotel is located directly across from the Indianapolis International Airport, and provides free 24-hour shuttle service and guest parking. It's close to downtown and to the site of the 2007 Formula One United States Grand Prix, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, which makes this hotel an ideal choice for business, pleasure, and for the listeners of this podcast. Call for your reservation today to 1-317-244-6861 or 1-888-HOLIDAY or book online through www.hiselect.com. You know you want to.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir, the globe is still hovering around Imola and Bologna as we cover Formula 2 and Formula 3 Action. The Formula 2 sprint race on Saturday, race winner came from New Zealand in the shape of Marcus Armstrong. He used to be in the Ferrari Driver Academy and at one time looked like the next big deal from NZ, or NZ as the locals will say, but so far has been unable to win the Formula 3 and Formula 2 championship. And he came through the ranks the same time and same series as Mick Schumacher. Sunday's feature race, Red Bull Junior Yuri Vips from Estonia on pole. He crashed out on his own early in the race. Winner was French driver and member of Sauber Academy, Theo Pourchaire. He is a young kid who is very quick, and he is in his second year of Formula 2, so he needs to win this championship this year, because nobody is interested in winning F2 in your third year. Okay, sir, F3, last lap lead, gave victory for the first time in the series to driver from Argentina, Franco Colapinto. He could be their next Carlos Reutemann. His victim was Nicola Tard's client from Brazil, Caio Collet, who was further victimized by French Algerian driver Isaac Hadjar. Your French homeboy, Victor Martin, was second. American Red Bull Jr. from Texas, Jack Crawford, was third. And he's a pretty young kid, too. Second race on Sunday was won by Czech driver Roman Stanek. Crawford was second. And, sir, next we come to a segment we do every now and then called Faces Going Places. And we've talked about this kid before. This is what I call new Kimi on the horizon. There is this Italian kid, Andrea Antonelli. He is known as Kimi Antonelli, 15-year-old under the management of Mercedes, meaning Toto Wolff. He was very successful in karting, and over the weekend in the opening round of the German Formula 4 Championship, which took place at Spa-Francorchamps, he won two of the first three races. So he also took part in the UAE Formula 4 series and also was very quick and winning quite a few races there. I very much hope he can be the next big Italian thing, as that nation deserved their first world champion since 1953. So remember the name, folks, Andrea Kimi Antonelli, and we'll keep an eye on this kid. And there is a kid who was racing against him. He's of Nigerian descent, lives in New York, Ugo Ogochukwu, and he is in the McLaren program, and he will be racing in the British series, so we'll keep an eye on him also. And also, Ugo is one of the very few Americans to have won a karting championship in the last 30 years. Now we move to from Bologna to Croatia, Rally of Croatia, World Rally Championship. Kalle Rovanpera was the winner for Toyota, and he took the lead in the final stage from the Hyundai of Ott Tanak, who is from Estonia. MotoGP from Portimão in Portugal. Fabio Quartararo on a Yamaha led a French 1-2 over Johan Zarco. Alex Espargaró was third. Victory gives Fabio lead in the championship. So all of a sudden, Mr. Rogers, French riders are doing very good in MotoGP. That's very good. And now, sir, interesting news. You know, if you're having trouble in one area of your life, you try to be successful somewhere else. So LCH is now going for a goal. Lewis Hamilton, Serena Williams, and a chap by the name Martin Broughton are part of an investment group bidding for Chelsea Football Club, which is on sale by Russian billionaire Roman Abramovich for obvious reasons. Now talk about F1 connections. Broughton used to be CEO of British American Tobacco when they were involved in F1 with BAR, now known as Mercedes AMG, with Sir Hamilton as one of the chauffeurs, and currently and amazingly leading the mid-pack charge. Oh boy, Oberto, how things change. So the Lewis has been linked to an investment group, and apparently both he and Serena have put in 10 million each, pound that is, as part of the bid. And so we'll see how it works out. And would you like to see Lewis Hamilton sitting in a VIP enclosure of a Premier League football game going on?
Since my first name is Clark, and I indeed was named after the great and wonderful Clark Gable, I can honestly answer this by simply saying, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, wow. Very impressive, Mr. Gable. Okay, sir, now we come to George Russell going captain and Tennille in Formula One. He was asked about his number in the team, Mercedes team, and he responded by saying, I think he has gone to a good PC school. He said this, and I quote, Lewis has been here for so long. I'm the new kid within the team, and I'm not going to go out there trying to be the leader of the team when I'm going up against the greatest of all time who's been here for 10 years. He is like the captain of the team, and that's how it should be, end quote. Now, I'm not sure if Lewis responded by saying, do that to me one more time, once is never enough. But our time is over for this edition of F1 Weekly. Hope you enjoyed the craziness. Thank you for listening. Till we meet again next week behind palatial walls. Bella ciao.
Thank you, Nasser. Outstanding job. Another zero on the paycheck for this year. Keep up the good work. I want to thank everybody who listens. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.
One last question before we go, sir. It's your own question. Who's going to win Miami?
Well, fortunately, because of his Latino blood, Fernando is going to bubble up to the top like a percolator with Juan Pablo Montoya rooting him on, and he's going to go all the way.
Wow. I am speechless, and we leave it at that.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.